It is time again to plug in the controllers, blow the dust out of the cartridges and settle down in front of the telly for some good, relaxing gaming time. That's before, of course, we get annoyed at being unable to beat the boss and switch it off straight away. There is no judgment for rage quitting here, though. We've all done it. We've all been there. We've all thrown the controllers, okay? This is Press X to continue. It's your go-to gaming podcast, and it doesn't matter your skill level. It doesn't matter if you're a daily player, a once-a-week player, or an every-so-often player. Everyone is welcome to join the Continue Club or become an XC Beast. If you want to be here, then we want you to be here. So welcome along. My name is Stefan Powell, and in case you're new, I'm a journalist, I'm a former video games correspondent for the BBC, and we've got another intimate episode this week as I'm joined, as usual, by my partner in crime, the comedian, actor and streamer, game player, absolute don of gaming, it is Einel Tomlinson.
Hey, hello everybody. Firstly, actually, Stefan, let me make it clear, I've never thrown a controller. I don't do that, they're way too expensive.
You've never thrown a controller?
No, never done it.
Never. Bollocks. I don't believe you.
Never done it, man. I don't get that stressed out playing games. They're very therapeutic for me. If anything, I get zen.
No, I like getting zen playing games as well. But sometimes, if someone scores a late win in FIFA, you've just got to hurl a controller.
Oh, no, dude, I'll be honest with you. There was times in Pro Evo 6.
Oh,
it got ropey. I think I might have mentioned it on the pod before.
Yeah.
But like they had an issue with when it was the first online Pro Evo, and they had an issue where when the ball went out for a throw-in, there would be like the person wouldn't have to throw it back in. And the time would stop and everything. And we call it wait outs. You just wait someone out. If you're losing, you just wouldn't throw the ball in and you just wait for them to quit.
Pro Evo 6, as we've discussed in the podcast before, if you're new here, is the best Pro Evo. One of the best football games, if not best football game ever. Because it had Adriano and you could spank him in from 40 yards with his amazing left foot.
It was broken to hell.
It was. We played so much in university. Such a great game. Well, look, because it is myself and Einel with you this week. You mean you've never put, just not even thrown one at a cushion?
No.
Not even like dropped one in frustration.
No, these controllers are expensive.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I'm not saying I hurl them at the I don't hurl them at the wall anymore.
I've heard people like they throw them at the windows, broken windows and things like that, and I was like, who's got money to be doing that?
That's extreme. Anyway, if you've never thrown a controller as well, then get in touch with us because I'd love to hear from you because I don't know if I believe him. And I'd take his point on the money side of things because they are expensive, but there are ways to throw it without actually breaking. Anyway.
Ah, there's not even any point if you're going to do it all dainty. Like,
if you're going to throw it, throw the bloody thing.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's just the two of us. It's just the two of us again this week. So we're turning to our Discord and to TikTok and to Instagram and all our socials for your unpopular opinions and for some thought-provoking content for us to chat about on the podcast this week. Of course, very exciting times, Einel, because soon you will be the owner of a brand new Nintendo Switch 2.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it, you know. It's been a while since we've had like a really meaty Nintendo launch. And like 8 years. It's been 8 years. And so I'm so hyped. I'm ready. After like my trip to Japan last year, going to see all the Nintendo stuff. I'm ready. I'm like, bring me Mario. Bring me like all the peripherals. I got the camera pre-ordered and everything. I want people to see my face when I pass them in Mario Kart. I'm like, oh. I'm just waiting. I haven't even got a sofa. I haven't even got a sofa in the house, but the Switch 2 is coming.
Absolutely. We were having this conversation. I'm going to be a bit behind Einel on this Nintendo Switch 2 front for a bunch of reasons, largely because I'm working away for a lot of June. So if I bought one, I'm not going to be able to play the thing. Mm. I'm feeling a little bit left out of the excitement at the moment. There's really building. You can start people starting to chatter. You can start to see people yep. talk about it in the office or whatever. And mm-hmm. people start it's feeling like it's getting close to Christmas.
It's turning up in a couple of big retail stores in the back rooms.
Yeah,
oh, I remember. I worked at Game back when the Wii came out, and carnage, absolute carnage. But I remember the excitement that everybody had. Every single day, the phone was ringing off the hook, people asking for Wii's, people coming in asking if you've got any Wii's and stuff. They're willing to pay extra. He's like, all right, I've got cash right here, mate. just go in the back and get one. I know you've got a couple in the back.
I do feel a bit like left out of it at the moment. And actually, like weirdly as well, sort of professionally, this would be usually for me the biggest, busiest time. Do you know what I mean? Like this would be ramping up now. You'd be getting your content ready. You'd probably already have one by now. Yeah, absolutely. 100% we'd have had one by now. And you'd been like, you know, doing unboxing videos or playing it and starting to write your analysis pieces and all that sort of thing. So it's a really, it's a bit of a, I'm having a bit of a weird experience.
Steph, you've got to remember the negative side as well, though, because all the NDAs, you've got to be super careful about everything you do. Can't talk about anything. You got to close the blinds when you're playing it in case someone looks through the window.
Yeah, films on their phone.
Yeah.
My wife's there making a reel and I'm in the back playing Mario Kart, and the next thing you know, it's a GameSpot article before you turn around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Some people got done for that.
Also, while we've got you, we're rambling a bit at the start of this episode. We'll get to the unpopular opinions there. But firstly, thank you very much to all of the lovely messages we had about our Neil Druckmann exclusive interview, Einel.
Fantastic it was. May I say, Stefan, some excellent questions you pushed towards him.
Thank you. I mean, it was all of those things. You're always a little bit pushed for time. So there's a couple of things I'm a bit annoyed at myself that I didn't get round to asking him in time before we ran out of time. But I think we learned a lot of interesting stuff.
Oh, no, definitely. You can always tell, like, when someone's enjoying an interview, when they're giving really long, like, answers. And sometimes, like, they ramble on or they go down tangents or things. I always prefer those interviews to the ones where they give the short answers. Oh, yeah, that, boom. And then...
Yeah, I definitely felt like he wanted to talk. Do you know what I mean? Like, in the sense that they had things that they wanted to say, him and I think the broader team making the show, and so it was really interesting to have that conversation. And we appreciate everybody that's been messaging about us, everybody who watched it on the YouTube, because we put it up on YouTube. And the plan is, we don't have the details, but the plan is to get all of PressX up on YouTube. Okay, that was hopefully going to happen eventually.
That's what the people want.
That's what they want. They're asking for it, aren't they?
I will say though, excellent interview. And I watched it the same day as his episode went out. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So good. In fact, we will touch upon that later on in the episode.
Indeed, little tease.
I thought he did it very, very well. I'm a bit behind. I've got to watch the finale. So by the time we're recording this, I haven't seen 7 yet because life's been life.
Fair.
Last couple of weeks. And also, I've been on doing breakfast radio, so I've been getting 4:30 a.m. Has the old alarm been going off?
Can you ever get used to getting up at that time?
It's weird, right? When we had children, my wife and I both have worked breakfast radio for a long time. She does it all the time. I dabble in and out, and your body does get a bit used to it. Now, is that a good thing?
You need to see your GP
long term. I don't know, but you do kind of get used to it. And so we're recording this off the back of a week of earlies, and you find a couple of extra percent from somewhere,
pockets of energy from somewhere. Yeah. It's like in those video games, you've found a little armor upgrade or something, just to give you that little oomph.
And the other, like, doing the news on a breakfast show, obviously, is quite, can be quite stressful. Times a lot going on, but broadly speaking, it's pretty, once you've got the first hour out the way, it's usually sort of follows into a nice little pattern.
Oh, that's nice.
The other day, though, 10 seconds before going on air, we get the news flash that the Pope had died.
Oh.
Now, that was a stressful couple of minutes.
Emergency stations, isn't it?
That is like, can I get this in time? Steam coming out of your ears.
Oh, listen, I'd pretend I didn't hear about it. Give myself another hour.
I didn't see the message.
Give myself another hour. I didn't see nothing.
And you're doing that. So life's been life in. So I'm a bit behind on Last of Us. The Pope thing was a long time ago. But anyway, it's just to prove a point. Anyway, here we are. We're rambling. Okay, goodness, stay on track. You're gonna have to pull me on track today, right? If I get distracted.
Right.
So some unpopular opinions to kick things off, as ever. We've got, you know, that's our routine, isn't it? Chappers says this community is a safe space. It is, Chappers. It is a safe space for you to share. I'm not going to throw shade, but friends should be honest with each other, especially when they have the other's best interests at heart.
True, Chappers, right? That's a good friend.
Einel, he says.
Oh.
Perhaps your pile of shame would not be as big if you didn't play everything on the hardest difficulty.
Oh, 100%, Chappers. 100%. I've been playing for a game, right? And I'm not stubborn, but I know I can beat this challenge. But I've been on this particular level for like an hour and a half. And I know I would have been like I would have completed at least another two levels. But I'm still on it because I know, I can get past it. It's a challenge. So I would 100% would have finished way more games if it wouldn't be for the... But that's just why I play games. I love that challenge sometimes. Yeah. Like, not every game, but the games that give that to me, I'm like, yeah, I'm playing on the hardest difficulty. Let's go.
Yeah. That is he's unashamed chap as he's doing it. Okay. His jam. That's how he's doing it. I've downloaded a game. And something completely different to try, because I'm sort of, as been discussing before, just finding it hard to get a real for sort of games that aren't just fun mobile games that I play for half an hour, or like Warzone or FIFA or I'm mm-hmm. playing PGA Golf at the moment, that I'll talk about later as well. But I've downloaded Avowed, because it's only 20 hours. It's an RPG fantasy that's right up my street. Lord of the Rings fan here. Mm-hmm. And I've heard good things about it, and because after our conversation about Claire Obscure, I thought about doing that, but I was looking through my Game Pass and this spoke to me. So next time, in a couple of weeks, I'll come back and I'll let you know what I think of it.
Oh, nice. You know what? Never had you down as an Avowed guy.
Well, this is it. You know, sometimes you've got to just try something different.
Yeah,
you know?
Hey, you're stepping out. Yeah, I like it.
Why not? That's good. So give me a couple of weeks and I'll hopefully life won't be life in by then, and I'll be able to actually tell you something about it.
Still on the tutorial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've created my character and that's about it. Now, John's replying to a mini-maps conversation from last week. He says, I hate it whenever I've got to open my phone to figure out where to go next. Give me a mini-map. Yellow paint, breadcrumb trail, whatever. Anything is better than having to open my phone. John, you are preaching to the converted, my friend.
Oh, do you know what? I don't mind it when games are obscure like that, though, and they don't give you maps. I like... Obviously, it's nice when you have a mini-map and stuff, but sometimes I over-rely on it. And like I'm constantly like pressing like the back button or the touchpad to check the map to see, did I miss something? Rather than just walking around and looking with my eyes. And so it's double-edged.
Yeah, I tell you what, I mean, I'm a fan of a minimap. I think minimap should be there. But I don't mind the idea, John, of a companion app, actually. Mm,
I loved companion apps.
Right. You know, that was the thing for a while. And now they don't really seem to do it as much because...
Bring back Xbox Smart Glass. Bring it back.
I just think there's something about... Because then you can tell the story in different ways. You know, you can leave clues... So it sort of broadens your experience beyond the controller having to interact with something else. Mm-hmm. And also, I think you could get away where the app is more interactive in like a social media sense. So you sort of, you crowdsource solutions to your problems. So I know it's what basically Reddit is, right? But imagine all that through the prism, funneled through the storytelling prism of the game. I think that it opens itself up for interesting stuff.
You know what? We had something similar to that. Do you remember the Miiverse with the Wii, when the Wii U came out?
Yeah.
They had their own version of Twitter.
They did.
And you could take a snapshot of the game you're playing, and then you could put it into the Miiverse and say, hey, how do I get past this room? And then people could answer. It was, they need to bring that back.
Yeah, so many things they've tried and just sort of left go by the wayside because I think, you know, got these big social media platforms have just come and dominated, haven't they?
They did.
But anyway... Thank you very much, John. Of course, you can do the same. Find our Discord, okay? The Press X to Continue Discord. Our links are all on our social media. Press X Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok. Press X Podcast on Instagram. Get involved in the community and the conversation. There's loads of stuff, people
Ooh,
sharing.
Friends
that,
in there.
Yeah, everybody's friendly.
As you can tell by Chappers,
people, you know, some of the people don't like the decisions I'm making on the Spotify playlist. That's fine.
That's universal.
Right? That's fine, but I'm right. But there's all stuff in there. And you can see as well around peak moments, you just know there's going to be a lot of conversation around the Switch too. And then, you know, if you're thinking about whether you're going to invest 500-600 quid in that, I think being in that Discord is going to be really helpful for you to make
also,
your mind up.
We need to get some Mario Kart World community games going. I'm down for that. If anyone wants to get down, we
you
do
know
some
what?
Press X, yeah. Mario Kart.
Let's 100%. We're going to do that. We need to figure that out, like, and do it properly. We're going to do that 100%.
I need people to see my face when I'm hitting the shells. They need to see.
I'm working away. So I'd have to rely on hotel Wi-Fi to be playing Mario Kart competitively. Yeah, so I don't know about that. Yeah. Anyway, leave it with me. Okay, so. It is now time for a bit of trivia, please.
Who wants to be a continuer?
So, if you'd like to test us with your trivia questions, get in the Discord as well, because there's a secret channel that once you send on that post, once you click that button, the message disappears
into the ether.
It vanishes for just the production team to see. So you can be sure that nobody's cheating and looking at the question.
What it reminds me of? It reminds me of like a one of those secure banking sites or something. You send a secure message and it goes off and you just no editing, you can't get it back. It's gone.
It's over. Move on. Now, currently, the PressX Trivia Leaderboard, Einel has had 5 correct out of 19, but then easier every week. His percentage is 26%. Mm-hmm. Keza, off of The Guardian, 2 from 2.
100%.
But she's The Guardian's game editor, so I'd expect her to
anything,
have a high score.
If it's
score,
lower
you know?
Than that.
If it's lower than that, then, you know, start to lose credibility, don't you? She's 100%. Keza's back with us in a couple of weeks, so we will see if she can keep that going. A bunch of other people are 100%, but they've only answered one trivia question, so that's cheating. I, however, am down at 10% with just 2 right from 20. So it is not...
Yeah, you got to get those percentages up, man. You got to be over a quarter at least.
Yeah, and I can work on it. Okay, the question is this week. At nearly 11,000 hours long, 11,000 hours long, Polish game player Paweł Szczyciński holds the world record for the longest continuous game on which title? 11,000 hours of a continuous game.
Yeah. So I obviously, feel like it's got to be like an online-only game. Oh, must be. Or like a game where it's like, you don't... It's just continuous. As long as you stay playing, it keeps going.
So there's something like No Man's Sky.
Yeah. Oh, good shout. I was thinking something weird like Star Citizen.
Yeah, could be Star Citizen. What about like Well, the game I put most hours into was Championship Manager when I was a kid, but it's not good.
Yeah, I don't think that counts.
and it certainly wasn't 11,000 hours.
Because it's Guinness Book of Records,
with Pavel. Because would Fortnite? Someone surely played that much Fortnite.
Nah, but I wouldn't even say that's in one go though. Because like you could. I'm looking for like an ongoing game that requires your attention, a lot of the time.
Well, look, we're going to go and have a think about it. When did No Man's Sky come out? Like, I feel like 2016, so it's been out for nearly 10 years. So that's quite a long time.
That was like middle of the PS4 generation.
Yeah, so maybe anyway. Okay, we'll go. Or it could be like one of those online games. Like, it could be a Candy Crush, or it could be.
Oh no, I would have beat him if it was Candy Crush.
So, what do you think? Okay,
I got Pavel beat on that.
See if you can get the answer, because we will give you it at the end of the show. So have your guesses, and then we will let you know what the answer is before the end of the show. Right, some news. Electronic Arts. In fact, I was working this morning early, like I said, and I had a message on WhatsApp from Einel with this story that I'd also seen, and but it shows, you know, that this is something that. The people are talking about Einel. Electronic Arts is cancelling its planned Black Panther game and shutting down the developer Cliffhanger Games. This is from the website IGN. This is something they've done some reporting on and discovered. In an email sent to staff from EA, Entertainment President Laura Meal said that these changes, alongside other recent cancellations and layoffs, are being done to sharpen our focus and put our creative energy behind the most significant growth opportunities.
Ugh.
Says it all, really, in that one sentence.
It's those last two words, isn't it? Growth opportunities.
So basically, we're going to put all of our focus on the games that make the most cash. Mm-hmm. Now, she does go on to say that those decisions are hard and they affect people we've worked with, learned from, and shared real moments where they're doing everything we can to support them. But what did you make of this news then, that Black Panther game was being shelved?
Well, particularly the statement they put out, it really not broke me, but like it was one of those things where it looked like EA was stepping in the right direction in the last few years or so, like especially with their EA Originals programs with like Split Fiction and like It Takes Two, Tales of Kenzera Zal, like stuff like that, where their EA Originals where they put money into companies. And to help them kind of get their ideas out. I was like, yeah, fantastic. And the games we got out of those were incredible. But then, like, obviously we had like just recently we had like them kind of laying off people at Codemasters being one of the most, like, the original UK, like,
yeah, one of the iconic UK games like developers.
They were making games before I was born.
Yeah, and they were there at the start, basically, weren't they?
Yeah, and like making them. I don't even know what's going to happen with them. And now hearing about this, it's like. It feels like we're going back to the old EA where everybody hated them. And do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
because they were making all the wrong decisions.
Yeah, making decisions that were clearly financial rather than creative. And look, it's a big business, and you've got to make money as a big business. We understand that, but are we saying then that a Black Panther game, the Black Panther movies, massively grossing, very successful, got a big audience, that they don't think they can make that work financially? Or even cover the cost, you know, because if it's like, it's the word growth that worries me a bit in that sentence. Because you could have said, well, look, the game is going to make the money back it costs to make it and some, but probably their projections are going to be that it's not going to make money, it's not going to make enough money.
Do you know what it is? I think they're scared of the other Black Panther game, the Marvel 1943 with Captain America. Amy Hennings one.
Obviously,
because she's obviously helmed like Uncharted and things like that. Yeah. Like her name's got pedigree, and especially in terms of like their game is due to come out next year. It's roughly the same time as what this one was expecting to kind of see some sort of release. And it's like, I don't know. When you look at the graphics on that one, it's like, wow, that's incredible. Like the graphics that they have on the Amy Hennings one, and then we haven't really seen anything of this one. And so it's like, it's a shame, because I know like there's some amazing, they hired like some amazing people to work for Cliffhanger Games, and it's a shame we're not going to get to see their designs and their creations and their video game. And it almost feels like a waste of time, because like to work on something so creative for so many years and then no one gets to see it ever, it's like, what was it all for then?
Yeah, but yeah, look, and to play devil's advocate a little bit, we know that superhero-based games haven't done the business that their movie counterparts have made, right? So you look at the Avengers game, some people enjoy playing it, but broadly speaking, they had to, you know, there was a bit of a flop, right? I suppose you would call it that. Suicide Squad, the same. But I wonder if that's just because they haven't been making the right type of games. They've all been trying to make live service-y type games just with the superhero tie-ins. Mm. Whereas had they, you know, made a game... Because you can all see a Black Panther game and a picture being really, really cool.
Yeah, I didn't think this was going to be a live service thing. I got the impression it was going to be like a single player.
Yeah, but I wonder if those experiences have scared... Yeah, and thinking, well, look, you
I
know,
don't know. You got like the best selling, like the best one out there as an example, Spider-Man. It does so well.
Yeah, yeah. That, you know, that is very true. That's what...
like you can't like if you're making a game, like obviously you're not going to be able to swing around the city, but like Black Panther could do so many different things.
Oh yeah,
and especially seeing like a fully realized 3D version of Wakanda, places like that. We've been to Wakanda in a few other like smaller type games, but like a big AAA EA one. Oh wow! And the stuff we would be able to do there. It's a shame, man.
They would have had so much positive press, I think, from because like the movie did, and you know, you shouldn't just be sort of like you know, like I don't know what's the right phrase here, but it shouldn't be, you know, should treat the art for whether it's good or not, right? But
yes,
to have a game based in Wakanda, based with so many black lead characters, not just like one or two, but the a big chunk of the cast being that way, you don't see that. I mean, I think games diversity, I mean, you're better to speak on this than I am, has got better in recent years compared to the way it was, right? But I can't think of a game outside GTA San Andreas?
Yeah.
Where the vast majority of the characters are black.
Yeah. Going a long way back. There has been a few.
I mean, no, like you talked of Tales of Kenzerazao, which is a brilliant, which is really good. And there are examples out there. But in terms of like big AAA, you know, you could have had that type of press you did for the movie.
I think Mafia 3 was probably the last one I can probably think of. But like in terms of like having like huge... like a AAA, like a huge studio focusing their budgets on a AAA game, focusing on a black lead, on a black character with black leads playing it. Absolutely amazing. And like like the people wanted it. Like people were crying for it, so much so that that's why we have two Black Panther games coming out very soon. Well, and now only one.
And now it's just going to sit there. Yeah, no one's going to see it.
It's just a shame because do you know what it is? It feels like marketing and management just made some calls and then made a decision and that was that. And like you can't trust that, man. Let the art speak for itself. I always say because I'm getting flashbacks of like Bungie and how they said like apparently they went to the other studios and they said the Last of Us multiplayer wasn't good enough and so that's why it was canned and stuff like that. And it's like, why are all these management people just coming in and making decisions on all these games that they're not even gameplays half the time?
Yeah.
And they're making decisions on people's creative art that they spend years and years building and crafting. And then no one gets to see it ever. And they can't even showcase it in their portfolios to say, I worked on this.
Yeah.
It's like everything's NDA'd under the sun. So it's like, oh, the last 5 years of your life.
Gone. I actually think if they would have come out and said, look, we're going to have to cancel this project because we've seen the progress on it and we're not happy. We don't think it's living up to our expectations. So actually it's going to cost so much to make it what we wanted to be. We're going to prefer to spend that time and money on other creative decisions. I would have respected that, I think, or a lot of people would have respected that more than essentially saying, we're putting our creative energy behind the most significant growth opportunities. Ergo, we're putting our energy behind the things that's going to make the most cash.
Yeah, it's sad.
I know that's the world. I know that's the world, and we're being naive.
And granted, I don't think it's anything malicious to this particular game and this particular studio because EA's been doing it. Like we saw it happen with BioWare. We saw it obviously with Cold Masters, as I mentioned earlier. Like across the board, they're getting rid of a lot of people.
And it's not just EA either. Look at Microsoft and look at Bethesda as well. You know, via Microsoft. You know, lots of companies are doing this. This is the significant trend of the games industry of recent years.
I think this is just like the biggest one in recent that it's just like, it's like you're getting rid. It's like I remember when they were recruiting for this studio and they're saying we're looking for like talented new people to go to Canada in order to relocate their lives in order to make this AAA Black Panther game. And they got some of the best people involved in it. And then it's not coming out. It's like, what?
Yeah. I think what I'm struggling with the most is, you tell me you can't make Black Panther make money? I know that there's another Black Panther game coming out, but surely Black Panther is one of the like the bits of intellectual property that you know is going to make you money.
Wasn't it the first Marvel film to gross $1 billion?
It did so well in the theaters, and it handled the change of a lead actor in very tragic circumstances really well, really sensitively, and still smashed it out the park in terms of performance. And imagine what you could have... Anyway, so look, let us know what you think of that decision. Are you as frustrated as you can clearly hear do you think, you know what, you're both just being a bit naive? Ultimately, games companies have got to make money and they didn't think this was going to make money, so move on. Maybe we're just being like that. Who knows? Find us on social media, get in the Discord, let's get the conversation going because we love hearing from you. And then, of course, there's no right or wrong answer here. It's just interesting to get people's takes on it. If they turn around and make something amazing with the cash they've saved, then I'd be the first one to put my hands up and say, okay, cool, I got it wrong. But we will wait and see whether that
happens. We're going to have to wait decades now.
Yeah, I know. Now, this one, this was a story that actually cut through onto the mainstream media. I was presenting a news programme on the radio, and we ended up talking about this on that show because it's a story that sort of crosses from games into the, sort of the broader spectrum of things. The Hollywood Actors Union filed an unfair labour practice against Epic Games, alleging that they've been replacing actors' work by using AI to generate Darth Vader's voice in Fortnite.
Yeah, James Earl Jones.
So, you know, because, you know, James Earl Jones passed away last year, but I gave his permission and his family gave permission to use his voice in the game. But you can use AI to have a conversation with him, even though those lines haven't been recorded by James Earl Jones himself. Aynel, you are a voice actor. How did you feel when you read this story?
Like I understand it from like a passing, like when people pass and they want to look after their families, and so they often kind of do things like this where they sign the rights away for people to be able to kind of use their likeness in various things so their family can kind of be supported off the back of it. I get that. But I don't think, obviously, when James L. Jones passed away, I don't think he knew this is how his voice is going to be used in a video game to ask him, like, obscene questions and have Darth Vader reply. I think that's where the issues are coming in, where you're seeing a lot of clips going viral across the internet where they're asking Darth Vader all these weird questions and getting Darth Vader to kind of respond, and weirdly he's responding quite well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bit I can see, like, in you know, like a real role playing setting, why that idea is cool. It's when people start taking the piss, frankly, isn't it? And getting him or asking him silly questions. It's like, I know you're doing it, it's funny, it goes to a viral clip, I get it, but also, come on, it's Darth Vader, don't break the magic.
I know you were hurting inside because being a big Star Wars fan. I know you were. But like, it's dangerous, man. And we're getting to that territory where We're seeing things like this happen, and I guess companies are apologizing after the fact once it's happened, and where we don't have legislation in place to kind of stop these things from happening before it kind of gets to these points, I guess. And it's tough because a lot of voice actors are seeing these sort of things in contracts and things in terms of like generative AI and their voices being trained for various different projects. I've seen it in a whole bunch of productions that I've potentially been involved with, and I've either had to kind of get them contracted out or I've had to kind of turn down roles because of these clauses and companies refusing to kind of change, and they want to use it to kind of train their data and get their data so they can train their AIs. And I think the issue is with actors, obviously we all have our morals and what we will do and what we won't do, but the issue is there's only so often people can say no when they need to pay their bills.
I think the pressure between big tech and sort of creativity and copyright is, and it's not just games. I think this is affecting, you know, authors who write books and all sorts of stuff at the moment. And like, I think, you know, I'm not a Luddite, I'm not saying we shouldn't be using AI, because there's always some interesting stuff you can do there, but I just do feel there needs to be a framework put in pretty quickly. Otherwise, you will get people, you know, being taken advantage of, or companies using stuff without the proper permissions. And, you know, we've had...
Oh, it's already happening, Steph.
Well, the boss one of the former bosses of Meta, Nick Clegg, who, of course, used to be Deputy Prime Minister here in the UK and former Liberal Democrat leader. He said recently that, you know, asking artists for permission before using their stuff in AI would kill the industry. I was like, well, there's got to be a way around that, because otherwise then the impact on the art, on culture, is way broader, isn't it? And it's a big conversation that's happening all the time now, and I think it's really interesting, and people who aren't involved in the space should get involved in it as well. Just have a think about it, because it could have, all of a sudden you could turn around and the decisions have been made and you can't reverse it.
Yeah, and you can't fight it. And it's hard for, I guess, individual creatives to kind of fight big corporations. It's like, how do you fight them? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, when there's no legislation or any laws in place to kind of protect you, you're on your own.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, like everyone's talking about trying to grow the economy. That's the big thing at the moment. This has got very, 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 very newsy
today.
We
are the AI hub, apparently.
Yeah, right. You know, all of that talk went on, which is cool. But you know, if you don't do that in the boundaries that people are happy with, then it's like, well, what are we doing that for? Who are we doing it for?
Exactly. There's a lot of people getting rich, and I don't think it's the people creating the art.
So, well, look, let us know what you think of, you know, your stance on AI. Do you use it a lot? Do you think it shouldn't be used at all? Is there a middle ground somewhere? You know what to do. Get involved in the Discord. We'd love to hear from you. Right. Has there been an update on GTA 6 recently? Let's find out.
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
I said, I'll tell you, I've been up and down the stairs. I've been on the internet. I've been making phone calls. I can't find that hang. I don't know how much longer I can hang it, because I just don't know what's going on.
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
There we are. That's your GTA 6 update for this week. Now, there's two things we want to chat about before we finish off. Now, you touched on it earlier. The Last of Us has now finished. The show is over. And, of course, if you're just joining us, you can go back and listen to our interview with Neil Druckmann, the creator of The Last of Us, and, of course, executive producer and director of the TV adaptation. But that got us thinking about the other way around. Right? Mm. We've talked a lot about adaptations from games to telly. Or movies. What about from movies and TV to games? What are the best examples? So we want you to throw some at us, of course, in the Discord, in the chat, and we'll reflect on that next time we get together or in a few weeks' time.
I already know my favourite.
What's your favourite? I want you to share.
You want me to say now?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, I think the best one, like best adaptation to video game, is Chronicles of Riddick: Escape from Butcher Bay.
Is it?
Yes. Wow. Did you ever play that one?
I was not expecting this. No.
Oh my God. Made by, I believe it was the Starbreeze. I think they're now like amalgamation of those people have gone on to make like Machine Games and a few others.
Yeah.
But like Riddick, like obviously Riddick came out with Pitch Black and we saw the Pitch Black film and it was like, yeah, okay, it's an indie kind of sci-fi horror thing. But then
Vin Diesel,
yeah. And then Escape from Butcher Bay came out, and it was the filler between what happens before Pitch Black, and how Riddick got his eyes because Riddick can see in the dark.
Yeah,
and oh, it's such a brilliant adaptation. Brilliant kind of adaptation of what the films were into video game form. It's first person. It's kind of like a. It's you start in a prison. Exhibit is your prison officer.
Fantastic.
It's got some amazing voice actors in it. I wouldn't even want to spot. When you go look it up and see who's in it, there's some amazing voice actors in it. And it's an immersive first person experience. You're in prison and you have to escape. You have to befriend prisoners. You have to find various things. You have to do favors for some prisoners. But if you do favors for that prisoner doesn't like you. You might have to shiv a couple guys. Then you got to break out. And then you got to get his eyes. Because this is Riddick before he has his eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Man. I think it's what the actual video game is way better than the actual movies.
You are selling that hard. So this is a game from, when was it? So original Xbox 2004.
Yeah.
June 2004, Starbreeze Studios on the Xbox. So Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay was not, I didn't have it on our list.
They did remaster it, so you can play a more modern version of it.
Okay. So look, we want you to send your suggestions for this as well, okay? So what are the games that you think work best as adaptations? So what was on the telly or a movie that got adapted into games that works the best? So we've got Chronicles of Riddick from Einel. I'm going to give you a couple of ones, and then I'm going to give you my favourite.
Sure.
Right, okay. So honourable mention goes to Lord of the Rings Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, yeah.
They had that system, which now nobody can use, where all the baddies were, all the orcs had personalities and backstories.
System.
The nemesis system, right? They had backstories and different characteristics, and you got to know each of them slightly different, which I thought was very clever. Mm. I thought it was a good game because it was in that space, but also it was adjacent to the story. You're not actually playing the story because I don't like replaying. I don't want to replay the Lord of the Rings games themselves, where you just replayed as Gimli or Legolas or Aragorn. I was like, well, I'm not Viggo Mortensen. Do you know what I mean? But I want to be in that world, and this is what that gave you. Some of the lore was a little bit, yeah, whatever, but we're fine. We'll move on from that. But honourable mention, Shadow of Mordor.
Mm.
Obviously, GoldenEye 64.
Oh, that's a given.
For Man 64, that's got to be on the list, right? Although producer David keeps saying this all the time, Nightfire is better, according to him. David, no.
What does he know?
Sometimes I worry about David, because he talks about this a lot.
I mean, I know we're all friends around here, but...
Come on, Dave, hey? Have a word with yourself, not Nightfire. GoldenEye, got to be in the conversation. And also, I think there's two other ones. Alien Isolation, we've talked about lots in the pod before. Scary as shit. Amazing. And you mentioned earlier the recent Spider-Man games, the Miles Morales one especially. They've been great. However, I've basically listed all of them there. But there are other good ones that people could mention. They could mention the Robocop
Nothing
game.
Nothing left for the disco.
Batman Arkham Asylum. Anyway, there's other ones you can get into. My answer is this. Simpsons Hit and Run.
Oh, yeah.
What a game.
Way better than it should have been.
Way better than it should have been. Right?
They had it that... looked way better. It looked like that. Was this the first time we saw The Simpsons in 3D?
Well, it felt like this was the first time I was inhabiting Springfield. Mm. I was going around. There was some great, you know, we've talked about how bad comedy can be in games before, but there were some funny one-liners from like Chief Wiggum or whatever you'd bump into. The
and
driving.
Moe's his
leg. Yeah, Moe was there. They were all there. All the great side characters of The Simpsons history. It played a bit like Crazy Taxi. So the driving was like fun. Mm-hmm. Didn't take itself too seriously. The graphics were on point for the time. I would play a remastered, reversioned, updated Simpsons Hit and Run now. Please give it to me. It was great. Because what I think it nailed was the essence of the show in gaming. Because that's when they fail adaptations, whichever way, when you lose the essence of the thing. That's where the Last of Us TV show works so well, because the essence is the same.
It's the same.
And for me, Simpsons Hit and Run was bang on the nose. I felt like I was playing an episode of The Simpsons, and that's just what I wanted to do.
Oh, and not forgetting, it was in the era where when a game released, it released on every platform. So it didn't matter what console
everyone
you had,
was
you
playing.
Could play it.
Everyone was playing it.
You could play. It was on Xbox, it was on PlayStation, it was on GameCube, I swear there was a Game Boy version, Game Boy Advance.
Just looking it now. 2003 it was.
2003. Well, everybody could play it.
Remember Vivendi? Vivendi used to do loads of games. Oh, wow, now I'm going down a Vivendi wormhole here. Oh, yeah. But they bought by Activision.
No,
they try to. Yeah, Activision Blizzard. Anyway, look, what's your suggestion? What's better than what we've come up with there? Okay, it was a bit like Grand Theft Auto, wasn't it? But not.
It was. Well,
it took elements of it. The missions.
More
and the,
Crazy Taxi than.
Yeah.
But yeah,
like
good.
A perfect blend. It was. just laughing at Simpsons Hit and Run now. I'm looking at videos online. Right,
good game.
Focus in.
Very good
so,
game.
So, what do you think have been the best TV/movies or book adaptations to game? Maybe we haven't mentioned it. I did give quite a big list there, so I have stolen quite a lot of the suggestions. But get involved. Press X Pod, Blue Sky, TikTok, Press X Podcast, Instagram, and on the Discord. What are your favourites, please?
Yeah, your suggestion was very good, though. Simpsons Hit and Run, I heard. Yeah, that's...
That's
an iconic game.
I am happy with that. I'm happy with that.
I don't think anyone who played that didn't like it. Everybody loved it.
I don't think there is anybody that didn't like it. There's nothing to not like. Now, this one, we are going to do a proper, just a full episode on sports games. I've been promising that for a while.
You
right?
keep saying that.
But this comment from the Discord, from Andrew, got us thinking that we should talk about this element of the conversation specifically. Andrew says, and I've been playing PGA Tour, the golf game again recently, because like I say, I'm sort of searching for something that I'm really going to get my teeth into. So I'm just dipping in on little bits and little experiences here and there. And I've been enjoying a bit of that because it's pure escapism. There's like lovely birds tweeting in the background. It's very nice, calming, relaxing. Had a little 45 minutes before bed. Before the kids got screaming at night. You know, it's just been very nice, right? But Andrew posted this in the Discord. He said, sports games don't need to be annual releases. I believe they've never needed to be. There's not enough technological progress in the space of a single year to warrant paying full price for basically the same game again. Release a sports game once every 3 years and just patch in the updated rosters in between. I could actually extend this, he argues, to games like COD and Assassin's Creed as well. But at least they've got a story element which can differ and offer something new. Well, Andrew, it's funny. The reason I mentioned the PGA Tour golf game is it's that comment that got me onto playing it, because that is not an annual release anymore. And the alternative golf game, PGA 2K, which is the 2K versions, they're out every couple of years. There's 25, couple, yeah. I think it was 23, the last one before that. So they are doing that. And we had, of course, Football Manager being cancelled for 2025 because of the snafu going on there.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot happening. And I kind of think this is a good idea. But ultimately, we know why, Inel. It's because people will pay full price for it every year. So what are you going to do?
And I think that's the shame, because like, whenever me and my friends always had the latest FIFA, it was amazing because we'd all go around each other's house. We'd all play, like we'd play online as well. And it'd be fantastic. As soon as the next year would come out and someone didn't get it, it would stop, because then when they would come round, it was like, oh, what's the new meta now? Oh, no, they've changed the way defending is done, and then that's been changed. And so it feels like an unfair advantage because they haven't played and kept up with it. And then once that happens, you just stop playing. And I think that's the danger, because like whenever I have games where it's the game is there and you know the new one's not coming for the next 5 years, like a Battlefield or something, then it's like, oh, I can enjoy this for the time, no matter what, when I'm playing it, I can enjoy it, and this is what everyone's going to be playing. Yeah. You go to try and play an old FIFA now, no one's there.
Well, this is it, because like on this journey to like just dabble in bits and pieces and play as many little experiences as I can at the moment, playing FIFA would have been one of my games that I wanted to go to and do that, because I used to love a bit of Ultimate Team late at night, you know, losing to 14-year-olds, loved it.
Listen, but I got the new one as well. I probably played it like 5 times.
Yeah, well, listen, I haven't got the new one, you see, so now I haven't gone to play it, because I'm like, oh, well, I could just play career mode, or I could play offline, but actually, I kind of feel like I need the new one. I feel like I want to play the latest version of it. And if I could just download a patch, but then I guess they're not making any money from me then.
No, they need your money. But to be fair, they would anyway from Ultimate Team.
Yeah, because I would spend a little bit on Ultimate Team, not loads of cash, but I'd spend a little bit. And I think it is interesting, you know, Andrew, you do hit, there must be a way. I wonder if there's a way where you can try and monetize in a sense that is like appropriate, but get past this sort of big 70 quid annual release thing.
Well, Konami tried it with eFootball, but like, because they made that, was it like kind of like not free to play,
yeah,
but like,
well,
they stopped basically Pro Evo and they turned it into eFootball, and then they tried to go down that route, but I don't think it's been successful that way either.
No, so yeah, I think Andrew, we're kind of living in this world for a while. I like games that do the 2 or 3 year bit of release games, but they tend to be the smaller sports, like I was saying, golf or, you know, tennis. We had that Top Spin came out recently. That's not going to be an annual thing.
I miss the snowboarding games, man, like Amped and stuff.
SSS Tricky.
SSX Tricky. Like, it's like we don't want to do winter sports anymore.
They were great games. And, you know, skateboarding, the same. There's obviously Skate and the Tony Hawk's games as well. And so,
did you ever play the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games?
Yeah, I did. The Rugby Sevens in minigame in that game is probably the best rugby adaptation there's been. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, sick. I'm going to have to pick that back up again.
Yeah, it's really fun. I played it against Gav Murphy. We did a stream on RKG's channel once on St. David's Day. We played rugby against each other. It was great. Because we're stereotypical Welsh. Sonic. Yeah. Because that's all Welsh people doing it. But look, let us know what you... I mean, Andrew raises a good point, and I think he's right, but also I can see it. If people are willing to pay for it, and if you can make the games different enough... I'm a big Madden guy. And recently I don't feel there's been enough of a jump between each title, so I've felt a little bit like this, right?
Like back in the days.
No. Like, because the game has come on so much, you are iterating. Mm. Whereas back there were such massive jumps in technology every 12 months, right? But the financial model's working for them, so they've got to keep it going. So as long as you feel like you're justified in your spending, then I think... And if you're going to play it a lot, then maybe they could offer more... in-game points or something when you buy every year.
No, but you're right, though, because like I think back in the days, like every sports game for each console was completely different.
Yeah,
I remember like there was Pro Evo Soccer, but then there was also ISS International Superstar Soccer.
Same
developer, but like completely different game.
Way more arcadey.
Like everyone had their own version.
Yeah, the jump between Madden 2000 and Madden 2001 was big at the time. I remember being like, oh my, this is like a new game. And in fact, I got my PS2 because I was like, I can't play the old Madden now. I've played Madden on the PS2. I can't do it anymore. I can't go back and play the way you used to be. Yeah. I can't move back.
They used to be the showcase. Sports games used to be the showcase for new consoles. Yeah. I remember like when the 360 was launching, one of the first pre-rendered videos they put out was a new Madden. It was like, this is what the new Madden is going to look like on the Xbox 360. Yeah. And everyone's like, whoa, is that the graphics?
So maybe the way we do this, we'll throw it back to you, Andrew, and to the Discord. What other way, because we know this makes sense, but we also know that the games companies have got to make money. So what other way could they try and monetize this sort of system where you basically, you know, just get patches for a few years and then a big release every 2 or 3 or whatever? What is the way that you could try and keep the cash rolling while also making that work?
Oh, do you know what I reckon? They should get local teams involved. and allow people to add local leagues and local teams. Like, make yourself in the game, because like we already have like all these this technology to make you put yourself in games and stuff. Like, I remember they used to have a feature where you could take a picture of yourself and then you can make your own player and like upload it to the servers, and then you can make your own player with your own facial features. Like, why not allow you to make your own leagues, like local league with the same players, and then play it out as if it's real, like the same people you play against on a Sunday morning.
This is a very good idea. Come on, FC in FIFA, sorry, EAFC. I'm here for it. So look, get us your suggestions in, and we can maybe chat about them in a couple of weeks. Right, okay, that is it for this episode of Press X to Continue. The answer to our trivia question, by the way, at nearly 11,000 hours long. What was your answer for this, by the way? You didn't
Star
give me
Citizen.
One. Star Citizen, okay. And nearly 11, and I went with No Man's Sky in the end. So very similar games, spacey types of. 11,000 hours he played. This was Pavel Szczyński, and he holds the world record for the longest continuous game, and it was... Pavel Szczyński spent 10,887 hours playing Football Manager. That is 453 days.
Oh, it was.
He took charge of 25,000 matches across 528 in-game years. He managed 40 clubs and 80 nations and completed 520 seasons.
Jeez. on the same version.
He managed them up to 25th of May in the year 2546, spending 311 years at one club.
Yo.
Wow.
He got his money's worth out of that game.
When his in-game manager reached age 100, he just stopped getting older. Now, he broke the record in 2003. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. Darren Bland, the first person to hold this record, spent 154 seasons managing Italian side Fiorentina.
See, I thought it would be that, but then, like, I always... Football Manager, everybody always moves over to the new one every year. So that's why I was like, it can't be.
He must have been doing this for the crack. Like, for the
story. I'm not updating.
Yeah. So what's the longest game you've ever played? And how close are you to the 10,887 hours of Football Manager that Pavel Szczyński's played? Let us know in the Discord, on social media. That is Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky, Press X Podcast on Instagram, and we would love to hear from you. You might have noticed our retros haven't been as hot on the day as recently. That's because we've had a lot going on. So fingers crossed you will have a retro for you on Thursday, and then we will be back next Tuesday for some more fun. So until then, we'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.
See ya.